Broadcasting from the secret military base in Summit Township. This is On the Docket with Connor Dockery.
Who do you think you are?
Weekdays at noon on Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM. Presented by Knutson's Sporting Goods, your outdoor convenience store. Kettlebell Hotspot, where your functional fitness begins. Bud Light, Bella Notte Ristorante, and Tri-County Water. That's good water.
Welcome into On the Docket. It is a Thursday edition of the program, which you already know what that means. We're broadcasting live from the downtown studio. Beautiful, beautiful day in downtown Jackson, Michigan. Clear blue skies, sunny, warm. It's a good day. Will it be a good day for Tigers baseball? I mean, that remains to be seen. They've been not having a good run as of late. Only two wins in the last close to 3 weeks now. It's been quite brutal. So we obviously will be cutting today's show short with the day game today, Tigers and Guardians game four. Tigers looking to avoid a four-game sweep for the Cleveland Guardians. Obviously, they've already suffered a four-game sweep in the division this year to the Minnesota Twins. But, yeah, we'll do avoid that again. But, yeah, they've got to really turn this around soon. We're going to chat Tigers soon in the show today. We're going to start off with our baseball-softball roundup. Jackson County, looking at local high school teams, where we're at. This is the last regular season check-in for these teams, because Monday coming up is Memorial Day, and the day after Memorial Day is when we get into the district tournaments, on into the postseason. Very exciting time of year. So without further ado, on the baseball side of things, Columbia Central Golden Eagles, of course, they have been phenomenal. 27, make it 28-3 on the season. They've gone on a very long winning streak, and of course they ended up winning the Al Glick Classic this past weekend, taking down Lumen Christi in extra innings. Very fun game. So looks like for Columbia Central, they've got a couple of games coming up this weekend. Well, the one game this weekend, they got Hudson tomorrow, it looks like, and then they'll be taking on Leslie in the district quarterfinals, really. The lone district game on Tuesday that we're actually going to be broadcasting over on our sister station, WKHM, on Tuesday. Columbia and Leslie, that's going to be on Tuesday. Fun stuff coming up for Columbia Central, continuing their great season. Concord, they're 8-15. They won their last game on Saturday against the Reading Rangers. They're in the Al Glick Classic. They don't have the results in for the second game that they played in that. They lost to Onsted. They then beat Reading, so that was their two games that they played in the Al Glick Classic. Before that, lost 2 to Bronson on the previous Tuesday. They've got another game tonight against Grass Lake, it looks like, for the Concord Yellow Jackets. East Jackson still struggling, 124-1 on a very, very long losing streak. They lost their last couple of games to Napoleon, Jonesville as well. So not sure if there's any other games that they're playing before they close out their regular season. They're in the D4 district tournament coming up next week. Grass Lake Warriors, great season as well, 23-8-1. They split their games, it looks like, with Columbia Central yesterday, a 3-2 win and then a 3-0 loss. Man, that's going to be a great district next week that we're going to be covering. You got Columbia Central, Grass Lake, and Lumen Christi all in the same district. Man, what a gauntlet right there. So that's going to be fun. Any one of those three teams could go on a deep postseason run this year. That's how good all three of those teams are. So that's going to be disappointing that only one of those teams can move on beyond the district tournament, but that's how it rolls, unfortunately. So Grass Lake next game, they got Concord tonight, and then on into the district tournament, it looks like. Hanover Horton Comets, they are 16-17 on the season. They've been pretty up and down all year. They've gone on some short win streaks, some short losing streaks, but just back and forth, up and down. They have split their doubleheader on yesterday against Napoleon, and then it looks like they split their last two games before that, beating Addison, losing to Angola, beating Bronson, just back and forth, back and forth. So Hanover Horton, that's where they stand right now. Moving on for J-High, Jackson, 10-24. They were on a 10-game losing streak before they finally snapped that, winning their first game in the Al Glick Classic. They then followed that up with a loss to Columbia Central for their second game in that tournament. So looks like that's it for, as of that I could see at least, for Jackson's regular season, 10-24 at this point. Woman Christie, varsity baseball. Of course, they are having a great season as well, 28-8. They were also on a long winning streak until that was snapped by Columbia Central in the championship of the Al Glick Classic on Saturday. 11-9 in extra innings they lost. They got Tecumseh tonight, and they got Quincy on Saturday before they look ahead to next Saturday playing in the district semifinals. Should be fun. Michigan Center, they are 15-15 on the season. They split their doubleheader yesterday with Homer. They then, before that, swept Manchester in a doubleheader. They got Springport in a doubleheader tonight, and then they look ahead to the district tournament next week. Napoleon Pirates, they will also be in that gauntlet district with Grass Lake, Lumen, and Columbia. 18-11. They were on a short three-game winning streak before their second game of their doubleheader yesterday with Hanover Horton. They split those games. Before that, they swept East Jackson. They got Hudson tonight, and then they're in the district tournament next week. Northwest Mounties, 11-11-1. They're on a five-game losing streak. They were swept last Thursday against Springport. And looks like they had at least a couple of doubleheaders scheduled for Monday and Tuesday. They don't have the results in. Not sure if those got played or not. But that's where Northwest stands right now. Western Panthers continuing their great season, 26-4-1. One of the best teams in Jackson County. They were on a seven-game winning streak before they lost the second of a doubleheader on Tuesday to Harper Creek. They've got Bridgman, if I said that right, coming up on Saturday, a doubleheader. And then they've got the district tournament coming up next week. And, of course, later on, as in I would probably imagine Tuesday when the district tournament starts, I'm going to go through all the individual districts and where each of those teams are playing at. Springport baseball, 22-5, sweeping Northwest on Thursday of last week. Looks like they had a doubleheader scheduled against Stockbridge on Tuesday. Those results are not in. Not sure if those got played. Meanwhile, tonight, doubleheader with Michigan Center. Looks like that'll be it for Springport's regular season. And then Vandercook Lake, 9-22. They lost both their games on Saturday to St. Mary Catholic Central and Sand Creek. Before that, they split a doubleheader with Addison. Coming up, they got a doubleheader tomorrow with Leslie, and then they'll be in the district tournament coming up on Tuesday. Now for the softball side, Columbia Central finally lost a game. Wow, they were undefeated forever there. 27-1-1. They split their doubleheader yesterday with Grass Lake for their first loss of the season, 5-4. They then rebounded with a 6-5 win. Before that, they split games on Saturday with Jonesville. They beat a couple of teams on Saturday, Jonesville and Quincy. They've got, looks like that's it for their regular season until the district tournament next week. So great regular season for Columbia Central softball. Concord softball, meanwhile, 9-13 to this point. Looks like most recently on Tuesday, getting swept in a doubleheader against Quincy. They don't have any other upcoming games listed, so I would assume maybe that is probably it for their regular season. East Jackson Trojans softball, 2-14 on the season. They've looks like got a matchup coming up tomorrow against Napoleon, and that I would likely imagine would be it for their regular season. Grass Lake softball 26-4. Obviously, they split their doubleheader with Columbia yesterday, which those are two great teams right there in Jackson County D3. They also split their doubleheader with Monroe on Saturday. Coming up tonight, they've got Napoleon, and then into the district tournament next week. Hanover Horton softball, 19-11. They've won their last two games against Napoleon yesterday. They were then, before that, swept by Lumen Christi the previous Wednesday, it looks like. So coming up for Hanover Horton, district tournament coming up. Looks like they have Clinton in that first game. Northwest Mounties softball struggling, 2-27 on the season. They have won their last two games, it looks like, however, sweeping Olivet in a doubleheader. And no upcoming games listed. They probably will be done for the regular season, I would imagine, as well. Jackson Vikings softball, they are winless. They're 0-19 on the season, most recently losing to Pinckney and Jonesville in their recent games. So we will see. That might be it for their regular season as well. Lumen Christi softball, 19-6-1. They were supposed to play in the Al Glick Classic on the softball side, but they actually had to back out because they ended up making it to the Catholic League Championship, which looks like they won against Bishop Foley 1-0. Good job for the Lady Titans. So looks like that's probably it for their regular season as well. They look on to the district tournament coming up next week. Michigan Center girls softball, 11-10-1. They were swept on Saturday against Manchester in a doubleheader. Looks like they got Homer coming up on Wednesday. Sorry, that should have been yesterday. Sorry. They had a doubleheader at least scheduled with Homer. They don't have those results in. Not sure if those games got played or not, but otherwise looks like that's it for their regular season. Napoleon softball, 16-11. They got swept yesterday by Hanover Horton in a doubleheader. Before that, they swept Olivet. They've got Grass Lake, it looks like, tonight. They have Grass Lake and Hudson scheduled, so they might be playing two games tonight. Looks like they got East Jackson in a doubleheader tomorrow, and then they will be in the district tournament next week. Springport softball, 22-6, playing very well this season. They swept Northwest in their most recent doubleheader, it looks like. And no upcoming games, so it looks like that's probably it for their regular season as well. Vandercook Lake softball, just 6-0 on their schedule, most recently last Thursday, beating Manchester. They got a game tonight against Napoleon and tomorrow against Northwest. And looks like that's it for the regular season as well. Last but not least, Western Panthers softball, 14-13 on the season. They most recently swept Northwest, looks like last Tuesday, it's their most recent games. And then they lost a couple of games on Thursday. So not sure what's going on there for their schedule. But again, that is it for the regular season check-in with the baseball softball roundup for Jackson County teams. And we'll be picking up coverage on Tuesday in the district tournament, covering that Lumen Christi baseball district. They're hosting it with Columbia and Leslie on Tuesday, and then the semifinals and championship, three games coming up next Saturday, with the winner of that game, I believe, going on to take on Grass Lake. And then on the other semifinal, it will be Lumen Christi and Napoleon, I believe. And then obviously the winners of both those games will be in the district championship, winner moving on to the regional tournament, which is going to be fun going into the following week. In that time of year, the last high school postseason of this school year before we have off for the summer. This is On the Docket. We are broadcasting live
downtown,
and we're chatting Tigers baseball in their tough series with the Cleveland Guardians. Going to recap the third game of the series from last night. This is On the Docket back in 3 minutes.
On the Docket with Connor Dockery. Weekdays at noon.
On the Docket, brought to you by Knutson Sporting Goods, Bellinote Ristorante, Bud Light, Tri-County Water, and Kettlebell Hotspot. Build raw, functional strength and core stability. Improve your cardiovascular endurance and metabolic conditioning. And enhance your mobility, balance, and coordination. Join the team today. That's Kettlebell Hotspot in Spring Arbor. Kettlebell Hotspot, where your functional fitness begins. So last night, Tigers continuing their four-game series with the Cleveland Guardians. And we're in the time of year where it seems like the Tigers are just finding new ways to lose. That's what's happening here. Extra innings, 3-2 loss. They've officially lost the four-game series, and now today just looking to avoid the sweep. So coming into this game, you knew it was going to be a bullpen game for the Tigers. Cleveland Guardians, meanwhile, rolling out their Tanner Bibee, who, coming in, he was really struggling, comparatively speaking to how he has performed in his career. And, of course, the Tigers are the great slump busters for opposing pitchers, apparently. Because he comes in, he was great for the Guardians. One run allowed in 8 innings, 5 strikeouts, 1 walk, 4 hits. This game was scoreless as well through the top of the 7th inning. The Tigers finally broke through in the bottom of the 7th. Starts with a Kevin McGonigal leadoff walk. I'm telling you, when this guy gets going to start an inning, it means good things for the Tigers. So we have a Dylan Dingler flyout, Riley Green single to put runners on the corners, and then Matt Vierling able to get a sacrifice fly to bring across that go-ahead run. Just 1-0 for the Tigers at this point. And then, all right, Tigers, very slim lead. Now we can start using some more of the quality pitchers in the lineup. So Kenley Jansen comes in the top of the 8th. Does get 2 quick outs. Gets a 2-out walk. With a steal, so runner in scoring position, able to get a good strikeout. So good stuff there for Jansen. Shutting the door. Tigers have a chance in the bottom of the 8th. Try to add to their lead. Their last chance, as a matter of fact, to add to their lead. And after a leadoff single by Zach McKinstry, you have Haoyu Lee into a force out with an error. Jake Rogers strikes out, and then a Colt Keith line out. So that's it. Tigers will have to try to hang on to a 1-0 lead, trying to, at least, if not try to win, at least try to keep this thing to no more than 1 run so that they can at least have 1 chance to walk it off in the bottom of the 9th, which is what would happen. We have Will Vest coming in for Kenley Jansen, who recently just got off of the IL himself, and even when he's pitched, he's been otherwise terrible this season. And shocker, Will Vest, he is not a closing quality pitcher anymore. He obviously did have a year or two where he was great. That is past. That is not this year's Will Vest. Back-to-back singles to start the inning. Of course, Cleveland then starts to manufacture that tying run. Stephen Kwan, a sacrifice bunt, which moves up both base runners, so you now have 2 in scoring position with only 1 out. And then catcher Patrick Bailey, who the Guardians recently acquired from the San Francisco Giants, he gets a RBI ground out to tie the game. And just like that, we are headed to extras if the Tigers can actually, you know, come through in the 9th for a change, which they didn't. So we're headed to extras. And the Tigers had their chances. Back-to-back walks to start the inning. Come on. Can't come through. Riley Green strikeout. Matt Vierling, strikeout. Wenzel Perez, strikeout. Are you really surprised at this point? Because I'm not. Top of the 10th, you have Tyler Holton coming in, who he's been struggling a lot lately as well. You immediately have an Angel Martinez triple to bring in the go-ahead run. Jose Ramirez with a one-run double, just like that, 3-1 Cleveland. And bottom of the 10th, closer comes in, Cade Smith. Zach McKinstry with a one-run single, so it's like, all right, Tigers, no outs. Come to within one run, good opportunity right here. And then Hau-Yu Lee strikes out. Spencer Torkelson comes into pinch hit. He pops out, which, by the way, I saw people complaining online before the game with the game that Spencer Torkelson had in the one before, and then seeing him get benched. It's like, I know he's had success in his career against Tanner Bibee, but even though he hit a home run the night before, like, have you seen him this season as a whole? I mean, come on. He's not been good. He has not been good at all. So he is out, and then Cole Keith, he pops out as well, and then that's it. The Tigers once again see one slip through their fingertips, and they fall 3-2 to the Cleveland Guardians. And as I mentioned, it's the time of year where the Tigers are racking up losses, and they're just finding new ways to lose. And just with all these injuries, just feels like the Tigers, we're getting the pre-gritty Tigers. That's what we're getting. We've regressed, which is unfortunate. Knowing the expectations for the team coming into the season, even in spite of injuries ahead of time to Reese Olson and Jackson Jobe, you still knew this was going to be a pretty solid pitching rotation. And I know the Tigers, they really needed to get another power bat in the lineup. They did not. But even then, I still maintain if this pitching staff is healthy and they're really living up to their potential, I think the Tigers can get away with having a mid batting order. But, get these injuries. Not only with pitchers, but with hitters. And you see what happens. This Tigers team is just absolutely crumbling. Only won two games in, the last 3 weeks or so. They struggle to score runs. Even games like last night when the pitching is on point, they can't capitalize. And for example, for as much as I've complained about Drew Anderson this season, it seems like he's actually really getting his season turned around. He was awful the first several weeks of the season, but in the last seven games that he's appeared in, only one of those games was rough. A 3-run, 2-inning appearance against Kansas City. That's it. The three games before that, he allowed 0 runs across a combined 5 2/3 innings. And then the three games since, including last night, he's allowed 0 earned runs, just 1 unearned run across 8 innings combined. So he seems like he's really settled down a little bit, which is really good to see because he actually pitched very well during spring training. And I know spring training, you're not necessarily facing strictly MLB caliber talent. You're facing a lot of minor league talent most of the time, but still, Drew Anderson seems like he's really started to settle down. He pitched well. 4 2/3 scoreless, 7 strikeouts, 2 walks, in 4 2/3 innings, which is a really good, being this was going to be a bullpen game. Then, of course, Finnegan, Herter, and Jansen come in, allow no runs. But then at Will Vest and Tyler Holton, who have both been really struggling, can't get the job done. But you can't blame them. You can't pin this one on them. You're in the ninth inning looking for a 1-0 save. I mean, where's the runs? Got to score runs. And you could just see the way that Cleveland plays, that was a team coming into the season that you knew this was going to be a team that has that's going to be struggling to hit the ball. Very poor batting lineup on paper coming into the season. But what have they done? The Cleveland Guardians, they've found a way to manufacture runs. They find ways to get on base. They're very aggressive going for steals. They're not afraid to utilize sacrifice bunts to get base runners moving. We don't really see that. I think we need to see more of that on the Tigers' side. Because we've seen how many times where they get multiple base runners on with one or zero outs, and they do nothing. It's embarrassing. So, ugh. Yikes. So the Tigers lose that one. And, again, looking to avoid the sweep today. A day game. Again, we'll have the pregame coverage starting at in about 15 minutes here on Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM. First pitch scheduled for 1:10. And hopefully the Tigers can wrap it up with a win. But again, they got to get hits. This batting order, something's got to give at some point. Casey Mize getting the start, his second start since coming back from injury. And obviously Casey Mize has been one of the better pitchers on the team this year, so that's good. Joey Cantillo getting the start for the Cleveland Guardians, who has pitched very well so far this season through 10 starts, although he did get a little bit roughed up in his last outing against the Cincinnati Reds. 4 runs allowed in 5 innings. So we'll see if the Tigers can break through to him. At least salvage a win. Got to get some momentum going into this weekend series against the Baltimore Orioles on the road. I mentioned with all these injuries racking up, I thought the Tigers would be fine. Even though they got off to a little bit more of a rough start, they did finally go on a heater. They got just over 500 for a bit. I think the Tigers, if they were able to kind of hover around 500 with these injuries, that they would be fine. And then once some of these guys start to trickle back into the lineup, the team gets more healthy. Then I thought the Tigers, okay, we're good. Now they can go on a run, try to solidify their position. But no, instead we're experiencing what I perceive to be a potentially season-breaking stretch. This 3-week stretch where you're, you know, struggling to win more than 2 games. This is a season-breaking stretch. The Tigers are now 10 games below 500. You're already 50 games in. Like, man, you're really putting yourself, you're backing yourself into a corner. And even when some of these guys come back, I mean, that's going to be tough. Not only the climb to get back to 500, but then to go from 500 to working your way back into the playoff picture. That's going to be another climb. Because, I mean, the Tigers are just sputtering out, especially losing the first 3 games of this series to the division-leading Guardians. Now 8.5 games back in the division. So that's getting increasingly difficult to envision the Tigers coming back out of that. And now 4.5 games out of the wild card spot even. Just sputtering out of control. So it's been frustrating. Very frustrating seeing the Tigers waste away. I know injuries have played a big part of it, but still waste away a season that could have been. But there's still a lot of baseball yet to be played, and it starts with today getting this thing turned around. Got to close out this series on a high note after losing the first 3 games, and then look on to the Baltimore Orioles this weekend. Again, first pitch is at 1:10 right here in Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM. One more segment left. Going to chat NBA, NHL playoffs to round out the shortened show today. We are broadcasting
downtown
in a beautiful, sunny Jackson, Michigan. This is On the Docket back in 3 minutes.
On the Docket with Connor Dockery, weekdays at noon.
On the Docket brought to you by Knutson Sporting Goods, Kettlebell Hotspot, Bellinote Ristorante, Bud Light, and Tri-County Water, as well as our friends at Polly's Country Markets. See them online at country-markets.com and see one of the convenient locations around Jackson County today. So one more segment here to close out this Thursday edition of the program. Starting with NHL playoffs last night, the conference finals getting underway. With the Western Conference Finals, the Colorado Avalanche and the Vegas Golden Knights, which I had the Avs winning this series. I thought it would be probably a 4 or 5 game series, but it may be a little bit tougher than that. Vegas coming in, upsetting the Avs 4-2, stealing home ice advantage. Of course, going into the game, it was announced that there would be no Cale Makar, who is, of course, in the running for the Norris Trophy this year, named a finalist, and of course has been one of the best defensemen in the NHL. Not only defensive defenseman, but also one of the best offensive defensemen in the NHL. Best players, period, in the NHL, and he was a late scratch for game one. And you've seen it, even with the Red Wings this year, what happens when all of a sudden you are without one of your top defensemen. That was actually what started the Red Wings spiral in early February, late January, when Simon Edvinson missed a couple of games. Suddenly just messing with the, more than just when you have a forward go down on one of your top lines, you got to shuffle things around. It seems like when you miss one of your top defensemen, that just seems to mess things up a lot more in some cases. And we definitely saw that with the Avs last night. They did get some pretty decent scoring opportunities. Could not bury them. Of course, we're at the point of the playoffs where pretty much all the goaltenders playing are not only really good, but they are playing at the top of their game. Carter Hart, of course, for the Vegas Golden Knights, he is on fire. And then the two different goaltenders for the Avs that they use, Wedgwood and Blackwood, they've gotten hot at times. But, man, Carter Hart, he did get beat early on, but it was a puck that hit the post from Logan O'Connor. Good opportunity early on for the Avs to take a 1-0 lead. Couldn't bury it. But otherwise, Carter Hart played very well. And then in the second period, that's when Vegas struck with Dylan Coghlan. Did I get that right? It's one of those two. He scores right in the slot. 1-0 Vegas. And then just a few minutes later, Dorofiev making it 2-0. So the Vegas Golden Knights, like, wow, getting a lot of momentum. But this is an Avs team. They can put up goals in a hurry. But early in the third period, Vegas gets another break. A little bit of a breakaway, 2-on-1. Took a little bit of a weird bounce on the initial shot. And it was kind of batted down and then tapped in by Howden. And just like that, 3-0 Vegas. But the Avs, they make a run. Nichushkin makes it 3-1. And then Landeskog scores on a power play and empty netter. So they had a 6-on-4. And just like that, it's 3-2. But then an empty net seals it. So the Golden Knights steal game one. That is a gauntlet Avalanche team. But, of course, and that's going to be a tough series. They can rack up wins as well. I mean, just look at the Minnesota Wild series. They can get wins on the road as well. So Vegas, for the time being, they get the job done on the road. They steal the first game. And tonight, we got the Eastern Conference Finals starting. The Canadiens and Hurricanes, which I have the Hurricanes winning this series. But the Canadiens, they've been playing very well. But, man, you have two of the best goaltenders in the playoffs right here with Dobis and Frederik Andersen, who's just playing on another planet right now for the Hurricanes, and that he's been unbelievable. So Canadiens Hurricanes, game one tonight at 8:00. Meanwhile, quickly on the NBA side, apparently last night was game two, but game one of the Spurs Thunder series was the most viewed game one for a conference final game ever for the NBA. which, I mean, that's kind of an interesting stat. Apparently highest viewed game since 1997, which I don't know if that's that much of a W for the NBA, given that the United States population has grown 30% in that time, and it's taken you this long to surpass that viewing number. So, oof. Anyways, the Spurs stole game one on an amazing game from Victor Wembanyama. And then last night, game two, Oklahoma City Thunder, they come back. A lot of good shot making down the stretch from Shea free throw Alexander. Victor Wembanyama got off to a little bit of a slower scoring start. It's not like he was, you know, missing a ton of shots. He just was not shooting it a lot. But it was close late. But OKC able to make some shots down the stretch. They now tie the series at one. And the series shifts back to San Antonio for games three and four. Tonight we've got Knicks-Cavs. Game two starting at eight after the Cavs blew a, 22-point fourth quarter lead? Unfathomable for the Cavs. But we'll see. We'll see what happens tonight. That'll do it for the show. Shorter show today with the Tigers game coming up shortly. Of course, that first pitch is at 1:10. Pre-game coverage starting momentarily. We'll be back at it tomorrow with our usual Friday shenanigans here on the docket. Peace.
If you missed today's installment of On the Docket, podcast it at foxsports1019.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to tune in live weekdays at noon on Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM.